Listen, I'm going to ask you to turn with me then to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read the scripture text there, and then we'll just listen to the voice of God as we go forward. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians. Amen. Makes it easier to find. We should always be able to find 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, 2 Samuel, 2 Corinthians. Because it's just after the first one. Now we have trouble with the first one. You got to go to the table of contents. Amen. All right, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. Let's look at verse number 6. We're going to read down to verse number 12. I'm going to read from the King James Version. The Word of God says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today one more time. Glory to God, because you are God. Because of who you are, we give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. And God, we come here now to this place in the service where we hear your voice. Father, we pray that we will hear it with clarity. Father God, speak unto us, O God, make it plain that we may come away with understanding. You said, in all our getting, get understanding. And so, Father God, we are praying for that right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Father.
And Father, we bless you, O God, for what you are about to do, what you're about to say in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that you will use me for your glory, O God. Word my mouth in the name of Jesus. And Father, may you be glorified for all the great things that are about to transpire in this place. We call it done by faith in the Son of God. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And, you know, the title that the Lord had given me, amen, and I give it to you on today, is Unbreakable. Amen. Unbreakable. Amen. And we're going to just start with verse number 6. Amen, as we just read. And Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, right? He wrote this letter to the church at Corinth. But it's also, a letter that's written to us and a letter that's written to whoever reads and receives it, amen? And in verse number 6, he begins by talking about God who commanded light out of darkness. And he says that God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we know that God, you know, what Paul is referring to here is when God, in the book of Genesis, when, you know, it says, in the beginning, God, you know, he created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was everywhere. And we know that at that particular time, God then looked at the darkness and he spoke. And the first recorded words of God, the first quote that is attributed to God in the Bible is, "Let there be light." That's the first thing that God said. that we read in the Bible. I believe, amen, that what a person does first has some real significance. Mm-hmm. Right? What a person does first has real significance. You know, what's the first thing you do in the morning? You know, some people cut on the television to catch the news or the weather. Some people check their phones or their emails or their text messages. Mm-hmm. Other people, amen, go to their Bible or go to their prayer closet and immediately start spending time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you do with your money? What's the first thing you do when you have some extra money? What's the first thing you do when you have some time off? I mean, the first thing you do many times is really indicative of what is really going on the inside of you, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes the very first thing you say when something happens demonstrates what's going on in the inside of you. What's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you say? I believe that the first thing you do, pay attention to the things you do first.
Yeah.
Pay attention to when your kid's calling you and you tell them, well, wait a minute, let me finish this first.
Yeah.
Right? Or your wife or your husband or somebody, you know, amen? No, I'm going to do this first. Because many times the things we do first are the things that at that particular time we're saying have the most importance for us. Mm-hmm. So don't take it lightly then what you do first. Make it a conscious choice and not just one that comes from emotion or habit or anything like that. Make sure that you pay attention to what you do first. And God, the first thing he said, the first thing that we see recorded in the Bible, God looked at darkness. And this was a different kind of darkness. It's not the darkness we have around here. This was darkness with no kind of light.
Yeah.
At all. Mm-hmm. And he said, let there be light. God, it's interesting that God didn't describe the darkness. He really, if you think about it, he disrupted the darkness, mm-hmm. right? He invaded the darkness and he did it with his words, right? He did it with his words. He said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. Mm-hmm. And the light was good. And Paul begins his, at least right here where we are in verse 6, we begin with Paul talking about this God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, that he looked at darkness, didn't get dismayed by it, didn't get discouraged by it, didn't describe it, but instead, right, he disrupted it. He went in there and said, you're not staying that way. Darkness, let there be light. And there was light. Why is that important for us? Because the Bible tells us we're made in God's image and likeness. The Bible tells us that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at our lives and we see anything that's not of God, and understand there's no in between. There's either good or there's evil. Hmm?
Right.
And everything good comes from God. Mm-hmm. And the evil comes from the enemy of our soul. And so the enemy likes to bring darkness into our life. And he tries to do that in various forms.
Yeah.
So here's the question for us. When we encounter darkness, not if, when, right? Because we encounter it in various ways. When we encounter darkness, what's the first thing that we do? See, we should be imitators of God that when darkness tries to come into our life or actually come into our life, don't describe the darkness. Mm-hmm. Don't go home after the doctor gives you that dark and gloomy medical report and Google the darkness. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to find out all about this sickness my doctor's talking about. Mm-hmm. But what we should do is what God did when faced with darkness. He looked at it and he disrupted it by speaking to it and commanding it, according to Paul here, to change.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So when bills try to bring darkness in your life, anybody ever had some bills that brought some darkness in your life?
Yeah.
Huh? When bills try to bring some darkness into your life, don't describe the darkness. Don't run from the darkness. Talk to that darkness and command that thing to change.
Amen.
Bill, you are paid in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now see, what you're going to say is, but it's not paid. Listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. We call things that be not as though they were. It's a faith thing. So whenever darkness tries to invade, we need to speak to the darkness and tell it what to do.
Amen.
You're going to have to get on up out of here.
Yes.
I don't care if the darkness is a bill, multiple bills, a bad report from the doctor, a bad report card from your kid.
Amen.
I don't care what form the darkness takes. Mm. Someone coming, telling you about your car's that going to be acting up, that your roof is leaking, whatever.
Amen.
That darkness tries to come into your life, speak to it.
Yeah.
Jesus told us to speak to the mountain. He didn't say speak about the mountain.
Yeah.
He didn't say share the mountain with other people. Mm-hmm. Tell other people about your mountain. Tell people how wide your mountain is, how tall your mountain is, how rocky your mountain is. See, that's what we do when we start telling people our problem.
Yeah.
Jesus says speak to the mountain, not about the mountain.
Exactly. Exactly.
Amen. Amen. And so God looked in darkness and he commanded light. Let there be light. And let us be imitators of God as dear children. And this God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, Paul says, has also shined into our hearts. And he's given us light. And the light that he's given us, Paul says, is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has, that same God who looked at darkness at the beginning and said, let there be light, that same God who lit up the universe with his words, has now given us light in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that light is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's break it down. It's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's allowing us to know the glory of God. The glory of God. Show me your glory. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. So the glory of God is the revealed goodness of God. And he allows us to know, to see, and to experience the revealed goodness of God. How does he do that? In the face of Jesus Christ. So when God introduced you and I, you and me, to Jesus, amen, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son who died for the sins of the world, including yours. When we got introduced to Jesus, we got introduced and we were brought face to face with the revealed goodness of God.
Yeah.
Jesus reveals the goodness of God toward men because he has saved us from our sins and we couldn't save ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good news. Amen. The Bible story, the gospel, is good news because we couldn't save ourselves from the wrath that is to come. But God, in his goodness, saw to it to provide us a Savior in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he put that knowledge in our hearts. It's revelation. That's why it's light. Amen. Because revelation reveals things.
Yeah.
Revelation enlightens situations.
Yeah.
And so God has shined that light in our heart that we now know and understand and appreciate his revealed goodness in the person of his son.
Yes.
And Paul goes on in verse 7 and says that this is a treasure. Glory to God. Do you view your salvation, your relationship with Jesus Christ, as a treasure? Mm. as something that should be treasured, as something that should be valued? Or are you just like, well, God saved me and now it's on to something else? Now God bless me. Now God use me. Now God, really, do we go past, do we become too familiar with the treasure? Do you know how valuable your salvation is? It can't be purchased by what we have. We could do nothing to purchase our salvation.
Sure.
And this knowledge that we have of God's revealed goodness in the face of Jesus Christ, Paul describes it as a treasure. And he said, this treasure we have where? In earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels are common vessels. They're cheap vessels. They're fragile vessels. They're frail. They're imperfect. They're marred. They're scarred. They have holes and cracks and chips in it. It's just a common vessel. It's earthen. It's not a valuable thing. It's not made of silver or gold. It's just common. It's earthen. It's made of clay. Amen? It's nothing unique about it. It's nothing special about it. It's just common. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to hear that. We ain't nothing special. We're not special in ourselves. We're just earthen vessels, common vessels. There are billions and billions of them in the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Amen? Yeah. There are billions and billions of common vessels in the earth. But God took this heavenly treasure and he looked down from heaven and he entrusted the treasure in a common vessel.
Wow.
God looked down from heaven. He said, I got this treasure and I'm putting this treasure not in some safe deposit box that no one can get into, not in some ornate container that looks so beautiful and pretty and impressive on the outside. I'm putting this precious treasure into common vessels like you and me. And he said, the reason why I'm doing that is so that when you go forward in the knowledge of my goodness in the face of Jesus Christ, and you're empowered by the fact that you're saved, and you operate in the Spirit, and you do things in ministry, and you do things in business, and you do things in the world and in the community, and you do things all over the place, the reason why I put this treasure in this earthly vessel is so that the excellency of the power will be of God and not of us. In other words, the reason why I chose cheap vessels to put my precious treasure in is so that when that cheap vessel goes out and does something spectacular,
yes,
everybody will know it can't be that cheap vessel.
That's right.
It can't be that cheap vessel.
Yeah.
And so if he or she is doing that,
yeah,
it must be because of that precious God that's on the inside of them.
That's right. Right.
Isn't that just like God? To take what is precious and put it in something that's common and cheap and fragile. And amen?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was born in a manger.
Exactly.
But here's the thing that it gets really interesting, Brother Les. Because after he puts this heavenly precious treasure into these cheap earthen vessels, he then says, okay, and now you cheap earthen vessel, I'm going to put you through some stuff.
Yeah.
And we get into verse 8 where it says, we're troubled on every side. That word troubled is, in some versions, is translated hard pressed.
Yeah.
So think about it. You're already a cheap earthen vessel, flimsy, fragile, frail. And now God, the first thing he does is, I'm going to put you in trouble. I'm going to put you in a place where you are hard pressed.
Jesus. Jesus.
And here's the thing, and not just hard pressed or squeezed over here. Mm-hmm. He said what?
On every side.
I heard it said that there's 8 sides to a man. Left side, right side, front side, back side, upside, downside, inside, outside.
Yeah.
And Paul said we got trouble on all of them.
Yeah.
You ever felt that way?
Yeah.
That everywhere you look, left, right, front, back, up, down, in, out, you saw some trouble in your life?
Yeah.
Paul said we're troubled on every side.
Mm-hmm.
We're being pressed and squeezed and spindled and mutilated on every side. But, he says, but we're not in distress. We're not in distress. And what's wonderful, amen, is that that word distress, means that it means to be full of anxiety, sorrow, or pain. Amen. To be filled with anxiety, sorrow, or pain. And Paul says, we're troubled on every side. Everywhere we look, we have trouble. Everywhere we look, we're being squeezed and pinched and pressed on and prodded and poked. And we got all these things going on every side of us. But, we are not overwhelmed with anxiety, sorrow, or pain. Doesn't say we don't have it, but we're not overwhelmed by it. He then says that we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means to be completely baffled. Completely baffled. If I think Sister Patricia said something earlier today that we all can relate to, that there are things that God does in your life, or sometimes things that God allows in your life, or sometimes things that God doesn't do in your life that leaves you completely baffled.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't understand this. Why, God? Why haven't you answered me yet? Why did you allow this, God? Why aren't you listening to me, God? Why aren't you responding? Completely baffled. That's what perplexed means. But then it says, but we're not in despair. And I love that because despair means the absence of hope. So we can be completely baffled, but we aren't completely without hope. That means we still have a chance. Even if you just have a sliver of hope, you still have a chance. Then Paul goes on to say that this cheap earthen vessel that has this prized treasure in it, he said, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, we're hunted down. You ever feel like something like you being hunted down? That you just being chased? That you just, give me a break. Leave me alone. Yeah, people don't be on your back. You know, sometimes people just on your back.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone. I'm hunted down. We're persecuted. And listen, the Bible says the godly will suffer persecution.
Yeah.
So if you're living a godly life, you suffer persecution. Jesus said that he would give some 30, 60, and 100 folds in this life with houses and persecution. Persecution is part of the promise. I know you don't want to hear that part.
Exactly.
But we're persecuted, but here's the good news. But we're not forsaken. We're not abandoned by God.
Exactly.
God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then lastly, Paul says, we're cast down. We're not down,
not destroyed.
But we're not destroyed. In other words, we're not down, but we're not knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are now. We understand that this God who in the beginning called light out of darkness, commanded it to come out of darkness, has now shined light in our hearts, right, in the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then he took that wonderful knowledge that of his goodness as revealed through Jesus, the gift of salvation and all that comes with it, and he poured it into these cheap earthen vessels, these fragile, frail, weak vessels, and then he said, now I'm going to let you be pressed upon. Now I'm going to allow you to be persecuted. Now I'm going to allow you to be perplexed. Now I'm going to allow you to get knocked around like a cheap can. But God, I got your precious treasure on the inside of me. I know that. Verse 10, Paul continues on and he says to the Corinthian church, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute. So it's not enough that we're troubled on every side. It's not enough that we're perplexed. It's not enough that we're persecuted and hunted down. It's not enough that we're knocked down, kicked down, shouted down, put down. It's not enough. Now, we got to always be bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And do you know that we're dying, that what comes along with dying is some form of suffering?
Yeah.
Most people don't die without some form of suffering. And especially when it talks about the dying of the Lord Jesus, we know he suffered. Mm-hmm. And Paul says we're always bearing about in the body, which means this, the dying of the Lord Jesus, the suffering of Christ. So those to whom God has put this precious treasure, you're always going to be bearing about in your life the dying or the suffering of Christ. And you know what? I know it gets real quiet whenever you talk about that. Hmm. If we share in his glory, if we share in the suffering, we'll share in his glory. But the word that strikes me most in here is not even the suffering part. The word that strikes me here in verse 10 is the word always. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So I'm always bearing about suffering? Always? Does that really mean always? No, always? Like, I don't get the weekends off always? I don't get the summer off always. Oh, I don't get vacation. Even when I go on vacation, I can't get away from always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always. It's my birthday today. Always. Always. Even when I'm sleeping. Always. I'm always bearing about suffering.
Always.
But here's the thing. See, but we sometimes, you know, we say things out of the Bible that we don't mean. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then the minute something comes, oh, I can't do that. I can't see that. I can't do that. I can't. Well, you just said you. And we love, right? Oh, when we get real spiritual, right?
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
Yeah, not
but
I.
Not I, but the Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, and the life I live by the faith of the Son of God.
And what about this one? We love this one. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
But really what we mean is, I want the resurrection power. Lord, you can keep the fellowship of the suffering part. Mm-hmm. But how many of you know, you can't get to resurrection power until you suffer.
Yeah.
Because you can't get to resurrection until you die.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as somebody who's alive being resurrected. So if you want to get to resurrection power, you got to go through the stages that requires that, and that's suffering, that's dying, that's death, And then it's resurrection. And then it's power. Amen? Mm-hmm. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. It's getting better, y'all. Not only are we always bearing about in our body the dying of Jesus, but we're always delivered unto death. And there's that word always again. Now we're not bearing about dying and suffering. Now we just moved on to death. And here's the word that we need to really focus on. It says we're always what? Delivered unto death. Who's doing the delivering? And here's the thing. That word delivered, really, you can view it as being handed over to death. Mm-hmm. Who's handing us over to death? Mm. Ask Job. Mm. Because the Bible says that there's a certain day where the sons of God came visiting the Lord. And Satan came with them. And God looked at Satan and said, where you come from? Where you been? And Satan said, I've been going to and fro in all the earth and walking up and down in it.
Yep.
I've been going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. That's all he said. And then it was God who said, have you considered my servant Job? If Job would have heard this conversation, Job would have said, what you bringing up my name for? Satan didn't ask anything about me. He didn't come here saying that he was looking for me. He just said he was walking up and down and going back and forth. Lord, what you bringing up my name for? It was God who delivered or handed Job over to Satan.
Yes, yes.
Have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, now that you mention it. Yeah, he got all that good stuff around him. Yeah, he got all them blessings around him. But oh, take that stuff, remove that hedge of protection from him, and he'll curse you to your face. All right, go ahead, let's see. But don't touch his body.
Amen.
But that whole sequence started because God brought Job up.
Yes, he did.
Have you considered my servant Job? Mm. You know, in the world, in our jobs, our workplace, in our everyday life, we love when people put us under consideration.
Yeah.
When they consider us for promotions, when they consider us for the loan, when they consider us for the job, we love to be put under consideration. But oh my goodness, when God puts you under consideration,
yeah,
it's a different type of consideration.
Yes, it is.
Because when
yes,
he puts you under consideration, he puts you under consideration the same way he did Job.
Yes.
Have you considered my servant Job?
Wow, wow. Mm-hmm.
And so when the scriptures say that we are delivered unto death, the delivering is done by God, who says, have you considered my servant James? Have you considered my servant Larry? Have you considered my servant Patricia? Have you considered my servant Evelyn? Have you considered my servant Tommy? Have you considered my servant Mike? Have you considered my servant? See, God's the one who puts us under consideration. And many times we think the devil just messing with us, but the devil can't do anything without God's permission.
Amen.
And God, many times, when all this stuff comes in our life, whether you like it or not, believe it or not, understand it or not, it's because God, in his sovereignty, said you were the one who should be placed under consideration.
My God, yes, yes. True.
And the scripture said he's always doing that.
Mm.
That's why it's no coincidence. You talk to every saint of God, and everybody is going through something.
Yes.
Because everybody is, God is always putting people under consideration.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
Always being delivered unto death. For what? For Jesus' sake.
Yes.
Is that what the scripture says?
Yes.
What's interesting in verse 10 and 11 is that the tail end of both scriptures essentially say the same thing. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So they say the same things. So God says you're going to be always bearing about in your body the suffering and the dying of Jesus. And I'm always going to be delivering you unto death for Jesus' sake. And I do it for one simple reason, that the life also of Jesus might be revealed in your mortal body. Mm. The life of Jesus. What does that mean, the life of Jesus? That the life of Jesus may be revealed, made manifest, revealed in your body.
Mm. Ooh, that means I can walk on water.
Not exactly.
Yeah, not exactly. What does it mean? Well, remember the God who Paul talked about, the God who commanded light out of darkness? Mm-hmm. And we know that happened in Genesis chapter 1, and Genesis chapter 1 begins with the words, in the beginning.
Yes.
What's interesting is that John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 also begins with, in the beginning.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then it says, in Him was life. Mm. And the life was what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And what happened? And the darkness comprehended it not. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that both scriptures start with in the beginning, and they both talk about darkness being dispelled by light. Mm-hmm. Right? And as we know in the Genesis account, when God said, let there be light, there was nothing darkness could do about it.
Right.
Couldn't stop it. Couldn't keep it from shining. And that's what John says in John 1 and 5 when he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Meaning that the darkness couldn't deal with it. The darkness couldn't overcome it. The darkness couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
But where did the light come from? It came from Jesus. Because it says, in Him was what? Life. Mm-hmm. And that life that was in Him was what? The light of men.
Yeah.
And that light, darkness can't handle.
Mm. Jesus.
Mm. And so now we start to put the thing together. Okay, Lord, so you saved me.
Yes.
And you allowed me to know your goodness in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you gave me this wonderful knowledge, this treasure from heaven, and you poured it into this weak vessel that I am.
Yes.
And then you put me through all kinds of stuff. Trouble, persecution, being perplexed, being knocked down. And if that wasn't enough, Lord, you then said, I'm always going to be suffering. Mm. I'm always going to be dying. Mm. And then you said, you always are going to be delivering me unto death. And you said, the reason you did all of that was so I can have the life of Jesus revealed in my mortal body.
Mm.
And now I get it. Because if the life of Jesus is revealed in my mortal body, the life of Jesus provides light to men.
Amen. Jesus. Amen.
And that light, darkness, can't handle.
Yeah.
And now we understand verse 12 then. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. And that's the point of the whole thing. Death worketh in us, but life in you. See, when God poured out his revelation of who he is through in the face of Jesus Christ and gave that to you, that was something precious that he put inside you. Then he put you through all kinds of hell. Mm-hmm. Suffering, dying, death in all kinds of forms.
Yeah.
All kinds of suffering, amen? And he did that so that the life of Jesus could be revealed in you. Because that life is the light of men, and darkness can't deal with it. And so now the thing that you go through, the suffering, death, and dying, see, death is at work in you. Mm-hmm. And the reason why death is at work is in you, because that death that's at work in you provides life to somebody.
Yes, 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 yes.
Many of us will say, I get it, but you can keep it.
Exactly.
Find somebody else to speak life. Find somebody else to speak life to the. Find somebody else to shine some light that darkness can't comprehend. No, that's fine. Huh? What? I gotta go through suffering, death, and dying always just so I can give somebody some light? You know what, Lord? No, that's all right. I'm good. I'll just sit over here. I'll just take my seat. You go ahead, Lord. I'm just gonna take a nap. And maybe by the time I wake up, you might change your mind. I'm just gonna stay down here for a while. You said, hold on. I thought you might have called by now. I didn't hear you walking around. I thought you might have left. If we're honest.
No, that's right.
If we're honest.
Exactly.
And this is where things really hit the road. Because we all go through some things. Uh-huh. You know, today's June 2nd, so we know we're closing in, amen, on, you know, when Joseph had his accident on June 4th and God took him home on June 5th, 2015. Yeah. Still don't understand that. Talking about being completely baffled. Uh-huh. Amen? Uh-huh. I still don't understand that one, Lord. In his sovereignty, though, he's saying it's all part of this process that you will bear about this dying and this suffering and be delivered unto death so that the life of my son could be made manifest in your body and in your life so that you can breathe life and light to somebody else.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Lord, ask me in advance if I want to be part of that program. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you no. Mm-hmm. And that's why he doesn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why God told Joseph about the dream, but didn't tell him about the pit or the prison.
Exactly.
Because he understood, if I tell this boy that, he gonna run to the hills.
Yeah.
There are things that God has going on in your life, and there are things that are gonna come into your life that aren't pleasant. But it's part of this process.
Yes.
It's part of this light that he shined in your heart. See, God didn't shine that light in your heart so it could stay in your heart. Mm-hmm. He shined that light of the revelation, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shined that into your heart. He placed that into your cheap earthen vessel so that at some point you can allow that light to go to somebody else. But it's not about going out there because you got the light, you got the revelation, and now you just want to start talking. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I got some knowledge. Oh, I went to Bible study last night. I got some scripture. Oh, I've been going to church for 3 years now. I can tell you some stuff. See, he said, no, that's not the way you're going to shine the light.
No.
The way you're going to shine the light is I'm going to put you through the wind.
That's right.
I'm going to put you through trouble.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you through heartache.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you through pain.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you through suffering. I'm going to put you and get you acquainted with death and dying and loss and betrayal and all of these things. I'm going to allow you to go through that, because when you go through that, then the life of my son.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Will be made real in you.
Yes.
And you won't have some cheap imitation testimony that you took off the internet.
Amen.
You're going to have a real word of life that's going to bring light to somebody. But if you don't go through that crushing, if you don't go through that squeezing, if you don't go through that suffering, if you're not like my son who was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, then his life can't come out of you.
Yeah.
It'll just be welled up on the inside of you. So in some way, even though this is still unsatisfactory to me, but I speak as a man. I speak as a father and a husband, and I speak as a man. I get it, Lord, but still, I'd rather say, give me my son back.
Amen.
You didn't include me in this decision.
Yeah.
I still will say that. You still don't want to go through the betrayal. You still don't want your house to burn down to the ground. You don't want to lose your business. You don't want to lose your ministry. You don't want to be the victim of infidelity. You don't want to go through a divorce. You don't want to go through child abuse. You don't want to go through spousal abuse. You don't want any of those things in your life. Lord, you can keep all that stuff if the point is that I can show some light to somebody else.
Yeah.
Lord, you can keep it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's what we would say.
Yes.
If we were given a choice in the matter.
Yes.
Which is why God doesn't give us a choice.
Exactly.
Why me though, Lord? Why me? I didn't ask for this.
Jesus.
And as we yell and we shake our fist at heaven and we talk about things not right, things not fair, this is not right, this is, well, what about him, Lord? What about her? She just going through everything over there and all of that. She don't even go to church. She got a new car. She don't even go to church. She got a new another car. And she don't even go. He got it. Look at this. He don't tithe. He don't even serve anything. He walked around in unforgiveness. This one over there cheating on his wife. And look, he still got all this stuff. And here I am serving you, doing all these things for you, and I'm asking you for one thing. Can anybody relate? Amen.
Yeah.
You know those are the kind of conversations you have with God when no one's looking? When you get them days, you wake up, and you know what it is? Today not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today is the day I had not. You ever had those days? You ever had that? That's the day. That's what it's called. Today is the day I had enough. Mommy, what's today? It's I had enough day. That's what day it is. Why me, Lord? And we yell and we scream and we cry and we spit and snot coming out our nose and tears all this, and we use a whole box of cleaning. Why me, Lord? This is not right. And if we listen real closely, we'll hear God speak from heaven. And he'll say, because I chose you. In the book of Acts chapter 5, the apostles were arrested because they were preaching Jesus. And the religious leaders arrested them and didn't know what to do with them, so they beat them. And then they let them go. And on their way home, the scriptures say that the apostles went home after being wrongly arrested in prison and beaten. They went home. And they went home rejoicing. And the scripture says they went home rejoicing because God had counted them worthy to suffer shame for his name. God had counted them worthy to suffer for his name. So, why you? Because God counted you worthy to suffer. Because he knew something. He knew that even though you are a cheap earthen vessel, carrying around this rich, precious, heavenly treasure, he knew that when he put you with your frail self and your weak self and your fragile self, and he put you in these tough situations and put you in situations to suffer and put you in situations where you're delivered unto death. And he knew, he said, I can put you through this because I know something about you. I count you worthy. Why am I worthy, Lord? Because I know you will go through that and you won't break.
Wow.
You're unbreakable. And see, some of these other people that they're saying, why not them, Lord? Why not them? Because the same thing you're going through, they would have broken.
Yeah.
They would have broken away from me.
Yes.
They would have stopped praising me.
Mm-hmm.
They would have stopped worshiping me.
Yeah.
But I knew something about you, that you're unbreakable.
Amen.
That even though you would go through this, you wouldn't run from me.
Amen.
Even though that you're going through this, you wouldn't deny me. Even though you're going through this, you will still show up at your post. You will still be faithful. I know it would be hard, but through my grace and through my continued presence in your life, I knew that you would still stand strong as a beacon of light in this dark world.
Wow.
I knew you were unbreakable.
Yes, wow. Yes.
That's the Lord. That's the Lord.
We count ourselves worthy. We rejoice that of all the people, the Bible says that God's eyes go to and fro in all the earth. Amen. To see who he can be, you know, he can show his strength, or who he can be strong for. But he's looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him. So God had to scan the whole earth, and he'd do it. He won't break. He won't break. Yeah, so, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's going to devastate him. I know. I mean, it's going to upset his life like anything else. I know, but we're going to be there with him. But see, he's not going to break. Mm-hmm. What about that one over there? Lord, he look nice and strong. He big. No. That brother will break like a dried up twig. Nah, we can't use him. Amen.
Amen.
So why are you going through your thing? Because God counted you worthy. Mm-hmm. And God, in his wisdom and his sovereignty, knew that you wouldn't break.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we continue to go, amen. We continue to go forward as beacons of light. But here's the thing. This is why God, this promise that God makes in Revelation, that he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. Mm. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God. Oh, you're going to have some appreciation for that. Because if you know about crying, if you're acquainted with crying and tears being down your face, and then, you know, you taste that salt. You taste that salt.
Yeah.
The promise of God wiping every tear from your eye, and there being no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, and no more pain, that's a promise worth waiting for, amen?
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. And so we keep going.
Yeah.
And so we praise unto God, amen. I praise God, amen, that he's counted you worthy. I'm not rejoicing over anybody's heartache, pain, or suffering. But when we take a step back and see the purpose of God through it all, and we understand something a little bit better at least, amen? That, Lord, you haven't abandoned me. That my bad situation is not because you're mad at me. It's not because I've been disobedient. It's not because of I got a curse in my family line. It's because you counted me worthy to suffer for your name. Amen?
Amen.
And you knew I wouldn't break. And for that, I give you praise. Amen. Let's rest on our feet today. Amen.
Father, we love you today.
Yes.
Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What manner of love of this that we should be called the sons of God? Yes. Father, what a privilege and an honor to be called your children. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the word you shared with us today. Father God, it's not one of those run around the church type of things, but God, we yet praise you, O God,
yes,
for the revelation.
Yes,
we yet praise you, O God, for just bringing us to a deeper knowledge and understanding,
yes,
of how you work in the lives of the people. And Father God, we just pray for your strength, your continued strength. We just pray for your continued presence in our lives. And Father, we pray, O God, that we will continue to humble ourselves before you, that your will may be done in our lives here on earth, just as it's done up in heaven. And that, Father God, that you can use us as beacons of light in this dark world, because, Father, you said that if that light that you shined in our hearts, the same light that you commanded to come out of darkness, if that light is in us, and you said the darkness can't handle it. And right now, God, there's someone sitting in the dark. Just like the Apostle Paul was sitting in the dark and you sent someone to him, oh God, and the scales fell off his eyes, oh God.
Yes,
right now, there's someone sitting in the dark. There's someone sitting in the darkness of addiction. There's someone sitting in the darkness of fear. There's someone sitting in the darkness of heartache and pain,
yes,
of severe
God,
loss,
Jesus,
of grief. There's someone sitting in the darkness of depression. There's someone sitting in the darkness with suicidal thoughts and tendencies. There are people around us who are sitting in darkness. And God, you've called us to shine light into their darkness.
Yes.
And to dispel it. And the darkness won't be able to do anything about it.
Yes.
So, Father, let us be found faithful. You counted us worthy. Now, God, let us be counted faithful. That when you call us to go and to shine our light, that, God, we will do so. We will be obedient. And someone's life will be transformed. Someone's life will be changed. Someone will be delivered. Someone
yes.
will be made free.
Yes.
Someone will be saved. Father, thank you. Just thank you, Lord, for the way you use your people. And we thank you, God, as the apostles did. We rejoice that you counted us worthy for such an assignment. We give you the praise today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.